This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Both Clinton and Trump campaign officials are worried about the effect that third-party candidates might have on the ballots, concerned that they could sway victory in tight battleground states such as New Hampshire. The latest CNN poll of polls nationally shows the Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson and his running mate Bill Weld with 4% of the vote, and Green Party candidate Jill Stein with 2%, enough to prompt President Obama to issue this stark warning.
Anybody sitting on the sidelines right now or deciding to engage in a protest vote, that's a vote for Trump.
Here to respond is one half of the Libertarian Party ticket, Bill Weld, Gary Johnson's running mate, former governor of Massachusetts. Governor Weld, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jake. Pleasure.
So you've said a lot of nice things about Hillary Clinton lately, and you've made it clear that you consider Donald Trump a clear and present danger to the nation. I know you want the Libertarian Party to get that 5% it needs in order to go forward and continue to be a thriving American political party. But I have to say, sometimes it sounds like you want to endorse Clinton. Am I reading you wrong?
Well, you're correct, Jake, that I do want the Libertarian Party to get over 5% in the vote, because that would give the Libertarian Party a permanent seat at the table in our ongoing national political dialogue. And I do think one of the issues in this campaign has been, do you like the two-party monopoly, the R Party and the D Party, in Washington, D.C.? We don't like that monopoly. That's the monopoly that kept us out of the debates and, you know, deprived us of the chance to run the table. Having said all of that, I do see a big difference between the two other candidates, Mr. Trump and Mrs. Clinton. I do think that Mr. Trump, with all deference, is totally unfit to be president of the United States. I don't think he has the stability to hold up under the constant pressure and criticism that any president is going to face every day that he or she is in office. I don't think he has the temperament to deal with all the many, many stakeholders at home and abroad that any president is going to have to do it. And, you know, I think it's a measure of how much our politics has sunk this year that when I say anything even faintly civil about Mrs. Clinton, you know, there are shrieks of outrage. How could he say that? Doesn't he realize that she's the enemy because she's on another ticket? Well, she's not the enemy. She's a perfectly reputable, professional, responsible candidate for president of the United States and deserves to be treated as such.
Kind of interesting, huh? What did you expect? That's kind of odd, as you say, and I think it was an appropriate question from Jake Tapper. You know, sounds like you want to endorse Hillary Clinton, and kind of did. I mean, I don't know if we've ever had anybody from another ticket endorse another candidate, especially when they're looking for their mere survival and trying to hold 5%, as he says, to have a voice at the table. This is, of course, William Weld, Libertarian vice presidential nominee, comes on and gets some national attention and pretty much, you know, sends it over to Hillary. I don't know. This is, needless to say, it has been an interesting 2016 election. I'm sure Tapper was probably shaking his head as he's hearing this response, thinking, oh, gosh, I thought I was having the vice presidential nominee for the Libertarian Party on. I didn't realize I was dealing with a Clinton surrogate. But anyway, I understand. I mean, some people are considering, you know, with all the contention that's going on, is there a way, is there a room for any kind of, you know, nicety? And maybe for some that heard this said, oh, okay, well, there's some semblance of reasonableness and decorum within the you know, the political process. I don't know, maybe we're just so scarred, we've been so beat up and conditioned that we just kind of coil at somebody trying to be reasonable, I guess. And that was his point, after all. But hey, look it, tomorrow's the day. It's the day to make a difference. That's all I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure that you get out, you vote, and, you know, if you can, as much as possible, take somebody with you. Take a neighbor along, you know. Don't go there by yourself. Let's make sure that we get a lot of people involved in this election if we're going to get this country back on track. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com to... Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, what's going to happen? It's going to be up to me and you, the man, the woman in the mirror. You know, we can blame everybody we want on the outside, but hey, look it. This is a government of, for, and by we the people. That means it is our responsibility. We're going to get off that for just a moment, and we're going to go a little bit, if I might say, memory lane in a way that is really special. Our next guest, Craig Nelson, who has been on with us before. I think the last time we talked, it was about his New York Times bestseller, Rocket Man. Craig has written several other noted books, including The Age of Radiance, which was a finalist for the Penn Award. First he rose, Thomas Paine, winner of the Henry Adams Prize. I mean, he just writes books that win awards. I guess otherwise he just, throws them out the window. But before turning to writing, Craig was vice president, executive editor of Harbor and Row Hyperion and Random House, where he oversaw the publishing of 20 national bestsellers, worked with such authors as John Lennon, Andy Warhol, Lily Tomlin, Philip Glass, Rita Mae Brown, Steve Wozniak. I mean, the list is absolutely stellar. Craig Nelson, good to have you back with us. It's been a long time since we last talked here on Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
It's been too long. It's a thrill to be with you.
Well, congratulations on the new book, just in time for the 75th anniversary, Pearl Harbor, From Infamy to Greatness.
Yeah, this week I spent most of the day on a panel with four Pearl Harbor survivors, all in their 90s, celebrating American veterans in the run-up to Veterans Day on the 11th. It was quite a time. This week I'm at your nemesis, the FDR Library, but on the weekend
yes.
I'm at the Council of Foreign Relations in Santa Barbara. So I'm swinging at all sides of the fences here.
Well, good for you. I mean, you know, well, the thing is, history is important. It doesn't matter what political perspective you may have in that, but what an honor to be around four survivors from Pearl Harbor. You know, I wish I could have been with you, standing nearby just to hear some of the tidbits going back and forth.
They were alive and kicking, and boy, did they want to tell their story. It was fantastic. One of them actually was, the Arizona blew up because
yes.
a bomb hit its powder magazine and turned the ship itself into a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew that aboard one of the other ships, and they lowered a guy to spray water while the ship is on fire, West Virginia, to spray water onto their own powder magazine so it didn't blow up.
Wow.
That was just one of the stories we heard. It was an amazing day.
Yeah, thousands of stories that day. You know, for you to write this book, Craig, what was it that motivated you to write Pearl Harbor, From Infamy to Greatness?
Well, I had two reasons. The first one was the last big definitive book at Don Weiss left on Pearl Harbor was researched 50 years ago. And I know civilians like to think that history, you know, you write the book and it's over and that's it, you only have one book. But in fact, a lot of stuff is constantly coming out, and you have all new insights and all new material, and we found almost 600 pages of new material
Wow.
since that book was published. So there's that. And then I had a bizarre personal connection in that I live a mile away from Ground Zero, and I was watching the attack on 9/11 from my rooftop, and I saw the second plane hit the building. And for the next 3 years, I had a bizarre phobia about planes overhead. I'd see one and go, why is that there? Where is it going? And as trying to cure myself, I found out that many people shared the same fear of Pearl Harbor survivors. So I had both a professional and a personal connection to the story.
Well, and as you say, as history progresses, more and more of the story comes out because, you know, probably immediately you think of these survivors, what kind of shock they carried with them, how they had to process it. Many of those in the Greatest Generation were just notably reticent to talk about their experiences, whether, you know, like my dad, he was a medic in the European campaign in World War II, and we heard very, very little. And it was only my brother, my second oldest brother, who was in Vietnam in the front lines as a field radio officer, that had to, you know, so my dad was comfortable to talk to him because they had that in common, having been in a combat zone and experiencing some of the things. But my dad was reticent to talk about this, and I found that to be, I find it to be consistent with a lot of vets. You know, they're not quick to, you know, talk about their time in country or in a combat zone. Do you find the same thing?
You are absolutely right about that. We found a fascinating thing when we went to the oral history archives trying to track down Pearl Harbor survivors who had gone, who were dead. And what we found was that there is nothing in the 50s and 60s. When you read books based on the 50s and 60s research, you see this very sanitized version of the attack. And then suddenly, in the 80s and 90s and aughts, you see this breakout because they know they're dying, and they know that if they don't talk, it'll be too late, and their story will die with them.
Exactly.
So it's just, it's absolutely right what you said. My own father, until I wrote a big book on World War II called The First Heroes about the Doolittle Raid, he never told me what happened to him in World War II. He was stationed in New Guinea. He saw a bunch of his friends die in a strafing attack. I didn't hear any of it until he was almost 60 years old.
Wow. Yeah, this is consistent, how these men and even women have held their stories near and dear to their heart. The 75th anniversary, Craig, we were talking about this earlier with one of our favorite historians here, Bruce Kaufman. And how many survivors do we have left? Do you have an estimated number?
Sure. I'm not really sure. Their average age is now 93. And when we ran out and tried to find them all, we had terrible, terrible problems because, you know, it's like they talked about it enough, or they're tired of it, or they don't really want to talk, or they've had enough of it. So we actually had quite a lot of difficulty. But there are an amazing number of them because the kids who went through this were so young at the time. You could enter the Navy at the age of 16, and you could lie about it and get in at 15 and 14. And when we looked at the 43,000 men, Army and Navy, stationed on Oahu that day, the median age was 19.
Wow.
And it was even younger at Pearl Harbor because the senior officers, they didn't live aboard the ships or on the base. They had essentially houses and apartments off campus, and they had to show up after the attack had already started. So the ones really facing this were very young teenage guys, and that's why we still have some of them left.
When you're able to look at history like this, 75 years down the road, some would say good news, bad news. Bad news is you're far away from the point, you know, from that point of when history occurred. You've got to look back 75 years, so there's some loss in translation. But there's also some advantage in being 75 years away from when it happened, too, isn't there?
I really think so, because I really feel that you look at this tragedy And it's the worst thing that ever happened in the history of the American military. It's the worst thing that ever happened in the history of the United States Navy. The Navy really doesn't like it. They aren't really that welcoming to the Pearl Harbor Museum and the memorial and the Missouri being on the premises because it's a memorial to a big loss. Yeah. However, when you look at what really happened to the United States, we really put on our big boy pants.
Okay. Well, let's leave it right there, Craig. We'll pick it up on the other side of the break. Craig Nelson is with us. We're talking about his latest book regarding Pearl Harbor. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Hi, my name is Stephen Holstein. In my 20s, I abused stimulants and anabolic steroids to the point where my adrenal glands were shot. I suffered from extreme fatigue and an inability to handle stress. For over 6 years, I have been taking adrenal supplements including herbs, glandulars, vitamin C, and vitamin B5. All these supplements did was treat the symptoms and produced only minimal results. Now, just after 1 month on Synergy One and ADR Medics, I truly feel rejuvenated. I have never felt such relaxation before from any adrenal supplement I did just 10 minutes after taking ADR Medics. I then noticed Synergy One made me wake up rested and with much more energy. No more hungover, groggy feeling upon arising. I had almost considered going to another country for stem cell therapy as a last resort, but now I truly feel rejuvenated on Synergy One and ADR Medics.
Success happens with synergistic nutrition. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Today, living in the United States means that your online privacy is at risk. Regaining that privacy means going abroad. Privacy Abroad offers secure online privacy because our servers are located in Switzerland, a safe haven for digital communications. As a law-abiding citizen, you have nothing to hide, but you certainly have something to lose. Regain your Fourth Amendment rights and your peace of mind. Go to patriot.privacyabroad.com now. That's patriot.privacyabroad.com.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if you had no contract, no activation fees, no hidden costs, tracking, tracing, harvesting customer data, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G LTE, GSM, and Sprint networks. Introducing Pix Wireless. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, or unlock GSM phones with Pix, and choose from an arsenal of monthly plans or build your own. Starting at only $2.99 per month. Get connected now. Call or click 1-866-205-9513 or PixWireless.com, spelled PIXWireless.com. Pick Pix and get connected today.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live.
just the way you like me, fresh every day, coming at you 3 hours, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back, America. It's just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Conversation continues with Craig Nelson, published in time for the 75th anniversary, a gripping and definitive account of the event that changed 20th century America. We're talking about Pearl Harbor and his book, From Infamy to Greatness. It's based on years of research, new information uncovered by the New York Times best-selling author. Craig, to this point, you go back and you start, I mean, you know, most people think, well, Pearl Harbor, we're going to start in 1930. You actually go all the way back to FDR. You mentioned him and starting in 1914. Why did you want to start there?
Well, we found this incredible little-known fact about all this, that in 1914, 3 months before the Austrian Archduke is assassinated beginning the Great War, or World War I, and 7 years before he's afflicted with polio and confined to a wheelchair, Roosevelt was Assistant Secretary of the Navy under the Woodrow Wilson administration, and he appears in 1914 at the Brooklyn Navy Yard to inaugurate the laying of the keel of battleship number 39, which is going to be named the Arizona. Right. So actually, the entire Pearl Harbor story begins 20 years earlier with this unbelievable thing that we found that was has never appeared in any other Pearl Harbor book. And I really was taken with this because Roosevelt loved the Navy with an unimaginable passion. Mm-hmm. The entire Depression, he increased its budget. He personally named, as president, he personally named the flag officers. And he called the Navy us and the Army them until General Marshall made him cut it out during World War II. And you see the entire beginning of this entire thing that happens. And then when the news comes in that of the destruction that happened, he says, oh, my God, now I'll go down in disgrace for being the president when this happens.
Yeah.
So this entire drama that goes on. And this whole thing, too, is you get to see the drama of these people unfold. At the beginning of this book, General Marshall, who, of course, is a great American hero, is not really up to his job. He makes a lot of mistakes. And by the end, he's the first professional soldier to win the Nobel Peace Prize for rebuilding Europe with the Marshall Plan. It's an incredible, incredible story.
Well, it's neat to be able to look back, and then you're able to, you know, get to, you know, more research. I mean, this was a lot of time. This wasn't something you wrote in a couple of weeks, certainly, with all the research that went with it. Now, you also talk about Japan's leaders as they kind of, you know, had this concept, this globalist mindset that they were going to rule the world, right?
We've always been told, and our leaders believed, American leaders believed at the time, that the Japanese were just like the Nazis, that they had this unstoppable force unified by a philosophy and a dictator, and nothing we do could change any of that. And we found out with very recently released material that none of that is true, that in fact this very small group of sort of crazed officers had their finger on the Japanese government by threatening it with assassinations and mob violence. They killed off a number of the civilian leaders, the prime ministers, the foreign ministers, anyone who stood in their way. They assassinated them to the point that everyone else was afraid of them. But during this whole World War period, the Army was fighting with the Navy was fighting with the civilian government, and it was so chaotic that they had 15 prime ministers in 14 years. Think of our entire government changing hands every 9 months.
Yeah,
it was just chaotic.
Yeah.
And what that means is that the United States could have negotiated a treaty with Japan at some point, and Pearl Harbor would have never happened.
But when you have a small group of people, you know, in much the same way as Germany, it wasn't everyone. It was all about 10% were the Nazis controlling 90%. So the tail was shaking the dog. So here you're saying the same thing existed in Japan, though, you know, the emperor was was the big thing. I mean, everything was for the emperor, wasn't it?
Well, the emperor, met with MacArthur in 1945 after the surrender, the emperor said, you know, it was brought up that he had done all these sort of small things to try and stop the rush to war, but he never did anything big. And he said, if I had tried to do something big, I would have been incarcerated in an asylum, or I would have been assassinated.
Wow. So here it was in similar fashion as what happened in Europe, a small group of people able to do this. I mean, there's so much about history that just continues to repeat itself, doesn't it?
Almost everything that happened at 9/11 echoes what happened at Pearl Harbor. At Pearl Harbor, they started the CIA and the NSA, and it grew after 9/11. It was an out-of-the-blue thing that no one could expect in both cases. The residences are amazing. But there's a hilarious quote, a hilarious cartoon in one of the papers today that says, people who ignore history are doomed to repeat it. Well, those of us who know it sit by helplessly while others are doomed to repeat it.
Exactly. Well, it's just another reason, Craig, to write another book, right? Because you know another book is coming. So in your discovery, what were you able to find out why Japan attacked Hawaii after all was said and done?
Well, it's an amazing story because Japan launched its empire across the year 1941, and they took over all of Southeast Asia with this tremendous campaign that was one of the greatest military successes of all time. They took over most of China, most of Indonesia, most of Indochina. This entire swath of territory from Kamchatka to India was now the Japanese. And the only reason they attacked Hawaii was because the U.S. fleet stationed there was the one power that stood in their way of taking over this empire. And they came up with the crazy idea that if they killed a lot of American boys in Hawaii, the United States citizen would give up and not bother trying to fight them.
Well, you mentioned also in the book about Sunrise Serenade. Explain that to our audience. This is an interesting anecdote. Craig, are you there? Did we lose you? Okay. We've only got a couple of minutes left. His book is very fascinating. It's just good. I mean, for me, being a historian, I love things like this. The title of the book, Pearl Harbor, From Infamy to Greatness, Craig Nelson. He's been with us before. Last time, as I mentioned, when we talked, it was about his best-selling book, Rocket Man. And, here he's been able to take a look 75 years down the road of what happened on that infamous day, the Japanese, you know, why they chose Hawaii. And as he mentioned, America was in the way. And that seems to be the cycling, case in anything that's historic. America is always in the way of people's diabolical moves, whether it's Germany or in this particular case, Japan. And there is, dare I say, a movement now, even with ISIS and what's going on in the Middle East. And America, again, finds itself in the way. Are we in the way? Are we here? Okay, so, Craig, thank you for reconnecting with us here. So, relevant to your book, what do you want people to take away from it?
I want them to understand that the America we live in today really began at Pearl Harbor. The fantastic military we have, the most powerful in the world, the fact that we're the number one superpower, the fact that we use various forms of trade and negotiations to keep peace in the world, and the fact that we haven't had World War III in seven decades is all because of what happened at Pearl Harbor. And that's why I call this book From Infamy to Greatness, and I hope people can realize how such a tragedy can lead to such great things.
Exactly. It's a matter of, again, that's kind of been the American way, haven't we? We've been able to, take, a situation where it is so devastating, and we're like that phoenix. We just keep rising out of the ashes, don't we?
It's a tremendous American story. It's almost like the key defining story of our country.
Well, congratulations on the book, available at all the usual places. It'll be linked on our website, too, at BillMartinezLive.com. Craig Nelson, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
It's an honor. Thank you, Bill.
Pearl Harbor, From Infamy to Greatness. Boy, I'll tell you, it is a powerful book. You will not be able to put it down, trust me.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312.
It started at Bunco Night. A little tickle in my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Neely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9256. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9256. Call 1-800-958-9256. 1-800-958-9256.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Martinez Live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Good to have you along with us. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. And if you want to drop me an email, by all means, we'd love to hear from you. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. It is Veterans Day 2016, and the American Legion is remembering and reminding Washington of its obligations. National Commander of the American Legion, Charles Schmidt, is with us. And let me give you a little bit of background. He is a Vietnam War veteran, retired U.S. Air Force officer, has been calling on Congress and the White House to modernize VA benefits and to strengthen the U.S. military so it can properly defend freedom against the growing threats of rogue regimes and international terrorism. Commander Schmidt, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you back with us. Happy Veterans Day.
Well, thank you, Bill, and it's a great opportunity and a privilege to be with you here this morning. We're here in Florida, in Pensacola this morning.
Okay. Well, in this world where ISIS, North Korea, Iran, China, and Russia, as you say, dominate headlines, there's absolutely no excuse for the U.S. to field a military at pre-World War II levels. But the fact of the matter is that's what we have, don't we?
Well, you know, sequestration, we've had this thing going on in you know, I know it's trying to resolve our national debt problems, but I think there's other means of doing that rather than taking away from our defense and our troops that defend this country. We need a strong military to counter those challenges around the world. And there are challenges, as we know. Mm-hmm. And, of course, as long as we got those challenges, there's going to be men and women that will be serving, and when they confront those challenges, as the case may be, they need to be prepared and have what they need to do that. And, of course, there are those veterans that have already confronted challenges, the World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and, of course, now Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. And, you know, even though they've served, a grateful nation should also take care of them as well, Bill.
Well, without a doubt, on the other side, there's no doubt about it with what's been going on with the VA, Commander. But, you know, it's not that we don't have to go that far back in history to recall what happened when the military was blighted. I remind people constantly on the show is that when the baton was passed on from Bill Clinton to George Bush, George W. Bush, the military was at such a low point that it took our kids, you know, time when they had to go to Iraq after the bombings in 9/11, after the attacks, I should say, in 9/11. And, you know, here we are, the parents of these kids are, and relatives are sending, you know, going to Home Depot to send, you know, send some supplies that they need. I mean, that's pretty disgusting, isn't it?
Well, I think it is. And, you know, if we're going to send men and women into harm's way to represent this country, to protect the interests of this country, then this country should to equip them and give them what they need to get the job done. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, if we're not going to do that, then maybe we better figure out something else out. But if we're going to send them into harm's way, as I say, Bill, mm-hmm. They need to have the equipment, whatever needs, to take care of the mission.
Well, to your point, Commander, we need something other than peace through strength. And, you know, this president for the last 8 years, and I'm sorry to be so critical, but here it is. I mean, the legacy of this administration is we have a severely weakened military. We're very vulnerable. Now, we hear the voices of Pearl Harbor survivors, which there are less and less every year. This marks the 75th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. And they repeatedly stress the importance of being militarily prepared and on alert. These are men and women that know firsthand the importance of military preparedness.
Exactly, and we're going to be in Pearl Harbor next month, Bill, to participate in the 75th anniversary of that fateful day as we know it. And again, I think that should be an example of why that our country should be prepared to confront any challenges, whether around the globe or on our own soil. Mm-hmm. And of course, that fateful day was kind of somewhat of a surprise to, I think, our military service.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, we still talk about, sadly, reforming the VA healthcare system. I've spoken with many veterans, others that have continued to watchdog this issue, and they tell me, Bill, little has changed. We have basically the same problem. All we know is VA officials are getting bonuses, and it's a head-scratcher, and it's a bit heartbreaking when you look and see how our vets have been, I will say, mistreated. And I know those there are some that probably hear this even within the VA infrastructure and say that's a little harsh, but they ought to be in their shoes and realize what harshness is.
Well, yes, you know, and the VA, I think, has been continued stressed in some degrees, because as we all get older, Bill, I'm talking about us veterans now,
yes.
That as we all get older, those needs become greater from a physical and mental standpoint. My era, the Vietnam veterans, as we get older, those invisible wounds, illnesses come out, not to forget the Korean veterans and, of course, the World War II veterans. And then out in front of us, we have the Iraqi and Afghanistan veterans, plus the Grenada, Panama, Somalia, and also Lebanon veterans. So the VA is getting tasked greater from both sides, you know, from all generations. But we in the American Legion believe it is a system worth saving. We are friends of the VA. We kind of helped get them started back in the late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was designed to take care of veterans. And what better system, healthcare system, in America that has been working with veterans, taking care of veterans, that understands their needs. And that's why we believe a system is worth saving, such as the VA. Mm-hmm. The American Legion has a program, Bill, known as System Worth Saving, where we travel to various VA facilities. We do our own independent assessment because as we are, as I said, friends of the VA, we want to see it continue and also to improve as time goes on to be able to take care of the expanding growth of the needs that are go through the VA. We do our assessments, and just about every month we're going to a different facility around the country. And we do prepare reports which go to not only Congress but the White House to give them a different look, maybe perhaps one that might come out of the VAIG. Mm-hmm. So the lawmakers that have play a big part, particularly from a budgetary standpoint, will have a, you know, a second opinion, if you will. So we believe a system's worth saving, and not to privatize it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, as you have discovered, something like 80,000 vets have been waiting more than 5 years to have their veterans' disability claims finally adjudicated. And
right.
I know that you're keeping the light and the pressure on them. I mean, it appears to be a systemic issue. But, you know, you would think with the technology, you know, we've got some smart people here. Why can't we
right.
resolve this problem?
Bill, when you talk about those 80,000 claims, those are appeals on claims. Those are claims that have been denied the first time around when they went through the adjudication process. So they're waiting to be readdressed. And you are right. There's 80,000 that are 5 years or more older. And a veteran should not have to wait that long. I don't think that's what a grateful nation wants to do. And of course, the American Legion, we have service officers, veteran service officers that specialize in representing veterans when that adjudication process comes through. And part of my project this year, Bill, is to raise money to continue to train our veteran service officers. So when that veteran's case comes up for appeal for adjudication, that we have a highly skilled, highly trained, and knowledgeable service officer to represent them and help them through that system.
Well, Commander, we're out of time. I thank you for coming on to honor vets on Veterans Day 2016. The American Legion is the nation's largest veteran service organization with about 2.2 million members and more than 13,000 posts worldwide, of which I belong to Port St. Lucie Post in Florida. National Commander of the American Legion, Charles Schmidt, on Bill Martinez. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Bill, and they can reach us at www.legion.org.
Life insurance. Call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
It started at Bunco Night. A little tickle in my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin, barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
This report is brought to you by Avon. As a company that's empowered and launched more female bosses than any other brand in the past century, Avon recently commissioned a nationwide survey, which revealed that 77% of women say they would love to be or love being their own boss. The top reasons why were cited as the flexibility to set their own hours, no one telling them what to do, more money, and less office politics. The survey was conducted in conjunction with Avon's exciting new advertising campaign, This is Boss Life, which celebrates the flexibility, freedom, and financial opportunity of becoming an Avon representative. Avon wants to empower women everywhere to take a step beyond the typical 9-to-5 work life and say hello to the boss life, because nothing is more beautiful than succeeding on your own terms. Avon is the leading social selling beauty company in North America. For more information on the Avon opportunity, Visit sellavon.com.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out Slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's Slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
Hey, millennials, know what you believe and why. Bill Martinez, live. Martinez
Live. Hey, welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. It is the age we live in where we're surrounded by so much information and yet know so little. Sarah Westwood is with us, a watchdog reporter for the Washington Examiner. Sarah, always good to have you with us. How are you?
Thanks.
Hey, after all this time and all this information, you have been going through all these emails from day one, it seems. You and I have been talking forever about it. FBI Director James Comey comes back with the over-the-weekend announcement saying there's nothing there.
Right. I mean, and keep in mind, we've heard...
Sarah, we've got a bad connection here. John, let's see if we can reconnect with her. And we may have to do it on her other line or something. But this is what happens, you know, with you know, some of these connections at times. They sound so good at the very beginning, and then all of a sudden something happens. We used to say in engineering school there was just a knot in the cord, you know, so I don't know. Anyway, Sarah will be back with us. And, you know, I just am so grateful for Sarah because as a watchdog reporter for the Washington Examiner, she has been on with us almost regularly, you know, to keep us abreast of what's going on here. And, of course, her latest article is 6 Unanswered Questions Facing Clinton Before Election Day. Yes, we're down to no longer days. We're just down to hours now, Sarah, huh?
Absolutely. I mean, people, early voting is already progressing at a very quick pace. A significant number of Americans have already voted. And so now the ability to affect the race is pretty much done. Now it's just a matter of getting your supporters to head to the polls, whether you're Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. That's what you're seeing them do today. That's why you see President Obama out on the trail for Hillary Clinton. He's not so much making the case for her at this point as just encouraging her supporters to come out and vote for her. That's all you can really do at this point.
Yeah. Well, he wants his legacy to be maintained. I mean, he's put all kinds of pressure on them saying, hey, look, if you want to, you know, give Michelle and I a good send-off, it will be that you elect Hillary as president, which is quite interesting, you know, to see. I have very mixed emotions about having a sitting president so involved in this campaign for the sake of the party, because I ask, who's paying for all this? You know, or, you know, he's still going on Air Force One, so that's the people's plane. So, you know, does the DNC send some of the money back or something?
You know, it's unclear. That's usually sometimes how that works, that the DNC will pay part of the trip. But keep in mind, you know, the president's time is being tied up in this election as well. It's not focusing on the nation's problems. And President Obama is pouring so much energy into Hillary Clinton candidacy because he knows that if a Republican president is elected, most of his signature achievements will be dismantled, and chief among those would be Obamacare. That is something Donald Trump has pledged repeatedly to undo, repeal, and replace with a different health care system. And President Obama's achievements in terms of his executive actions related to immigration, those would likely be rolled back. Conservative appointments would be placed on the Supreme Court. So President Obama knows that a lot of his achievements would be rolled back if a Republican president is elected, and that's part of the reason why you see him out on the trail for Hillary Clinton. And I mean, the other reason is, just quite frankly, he's much more popular than Hillary Clinton in almost every aspect. So people respond more favorably to President Obama. He's become a very visible part of her campaign.
Are you surprised at all at his level of popularity? I mean, they say 56-58% approval rating. Are you surprised in light of, you know, people opening up their envelopes, you say Obamacare, and seeing what a disaster? I mean, his signature piece of legislation is Obamacare, and it's going down in flames here, and it's caused a lot of injury to people that the ramifications are so, so deep and wide. It is amazing to me that people are willing to just set that aside, you know, because they're feeling so much pain from it.
There's such a disconnect between the popularity personally of Obama and the unpopularity of a lot of his policies, you know, from the way he's handled the Syria crisis, his health care legislation, his executive actions, whether those are environmental related, immigration related, being tied up in the courts because they potentially violate the Constitution. All of those things are pretty unpopular with the American people, and people are suffering economically because wage stagnation and because of the sluggish job growth. But President Obama has enjoyed personal popularity, and that's put Hillary Clinton in a tight spot throughout this campaign. She's had to distance herself from Obama's key policies and positions while embracing him personally because he's so popular. But everything he's done lately is pretty unpopular, and that's
exactly
for Hillary Clinton to walk.
Well, in these six questions, one of the questions you say that Hillary has to answer, but of course she hasn't answered any of the others, so I don't know, but it would be nice. I guess maybe it'd be nice if she answered, you know, of course time will tell, particularly with this first one, and that has to do with Omar Abedin. You know, is she going to face criminal charges?
Right. Comey's letter to Congress yesterday, in which he said that the FBI hasn't changed its position on Secretary Clinton, made no mention of Uma Abedin. Mm-hmm. All of these records were discovered on a laptop Abedin shared with her estranged husband, Anthony Weiner. And even if all of these emails were duplicates, it still stands to reason that if they were classified duplicates and they were not disclosed to the FBI, and they sat on Anthony Weiner's laptop for all these years, that could still get Uma Abedin in trouble. So we don't know what her fate will be. James Comey's letters appeared to respond to a lot of that pressure not to interfere in the election, so it dealt only with Hillary Clinton. We don't know whether that means her associates won't face any trouble for the latest set of emails they discovered.
Well, you know, and you get to a situation, Sarah, to where some have been, you know, given a get out of jail card. But if you've lied, if you violated any condition of this, this exoneration, so to speak, then all bets are off. Right. So they're still, you know, they're still in some precarious hold here.
Exactly. Because there are immunity agreements that Heather Samuelson, Cheryl Mills, three others received were contingent upon the understanding that those individuals did not lie to the FBI. We don't know whether evidence has emerged to suggest that they did. But if the FBI found evidence that witnesses, immunized witnesses, had not told the truth, then they would obviously have reason to pursue potentially criminal charges against those people. And secondly, there has been ubiquitous reports that the FBI is still pursuing an investigation into the Clinton Foundation. That's only tangentially related to the email controversy and probe. So that seems to be ongoing, and Comey's letter made no mention of the investigative steps his bureau has taken towards looking into the Clinton Foundation. So that's something Hillary Clinton could still potentially have to contend with should she win tomorrow.
Well, speaking of the foundation, of course, some of the emails, the recent ones, revealed that there was crossover in terms of support for Chelsea Clinton, and it almost became her personal slush fund, didn't it?
There was an email released by WikiLeaks yesterday that seemed to suggest that Chelsea Clinton potentially used foundation resources for her wedding, that she used it to fund her life for a decade. That was a quote from the email. It has raised questions about the intersection between the Clintons' personal finances and the foundation. That's been an open question for a while now, because the Clintons did not draw clear lines of distinction between their personal business, the foundation, and even their political decisions. And that dates back to Hillary Clinton's time at the State Department, where there is still lingering questions as to whether she granted foundation donors special treatment or favors while she was Secretary of State. That's something that reportedly the FBI is looking into now.
Exactly. Well, you know, the other thing is about Hillary is, which Hillary will the voters get, the private or the public Hillary?
You're referring to a line from a paid speech that was leaked by WikiLeaks, and there's been ample evidence throughout the WikiLeaks probe to suggest that she does subscribe to the worldview that politicians need a public and a private position. For example, her aides tried to carefully craft a statement opposing the Trans-Pacific Partnership that would leave her an opening to come back out eventually and support the trade deal. She had supported it while she was Secretary of State. She called it the gold standard of trade agreements. And her aides, even while crafting her opposition to the trade deal, which was correctly viewed by many as a flip-flop, they tried to leave her a trap door so she could eventually turn around and support the deal that she opposed, that she previously supported. And the list goes on, whether it was the Keystone Pipeline, whether it was immigration. She demonstrated that she had both a public and a private position.
You know, and it wasn't that long ago, Mitt Romney was getting chastised for the Etch-a-Sketch comment. Is this kind of the same formula? I mean, we're, you know, this is Etch-a-Sketch Hillary style?
Exactly. I mean, there's a lot of parallels between Romney and Clinton you could draw, that in which, you know, Romney got hammered for something and Hillary Clinton said something similar and then got off relatively unscathed. And I think the best example of that was when she called most of Donald Trump's supporters deplorable and irredeemable, and yet that drew little comparisons to the 47% comment.
Exactly.
Certainly but didn't take the same criticism.
And she's going to be a uniter, and we're going to unite the country here. Oh, Lord have mercy. One final question here. We got Huma Abedin's future in question. Patrick Kennedy, will he stay at state?
Well, he will certainly face a lot of scrutiny from congressional Republicans who will investigate whether he offered a, quote, quid pro quo to contain some of the scandal over Benghazi-related emails. But Hillary Clinton could be inclined to keep them because he was sort of the cleanup agent.
Exactly. Sarah Westwood, watchdog reporter for the Washington Examiner. Thank you, Sarah.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. See website for details.
Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 45cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash will hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow, as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history. Visit 45cash.com. Bob, and you can have up to $5,000 in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income, and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 45cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 45cash.com. Type www.45cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 45cash.com. 45cash.com.
Paid monetary spokesperson.